Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. See what's on the menu this week and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/android. And by Square. Accept every card for the same rate and deposit your money fast with free chargeback protection, no commitment, or hidden fees. Sign up now to get free processing on your first $500 in sales at square.com/android. Some terms apply. And welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode number 312, recorded Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Yeah. Tonight. Excellent.
Spring has sprung. I'm happy.
Happy about the sprunging of spring.
Yep.
It really is nice. It's about time. joining us... Miriam has sprung. Miriam Jawar, of course, tankgirl.com.
I sprung. Yeah, you're right. I just kind of randomly appeared.
It's like you and spring go hand in hand. Oh, you spring you. At the same time.
Thank you. You know, it was really nice. I was away traveling for work when all this time zones or time change happened. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I come back here and it's the wet, like finally it's no longer raining. And the nights are long.
Yeah.
Thank God.
The sun is out. It is spring.
It is, except it's get ready because it's going to rain again. So just a forewarning. Well, it's going to. No, it's going to. I'm
reservoirs.
I'm just all about the weather. Whatever.
Reservoirs.
Whatever. But you've also been very busy. You've been doing a lot of traveling, yeah?
Well, you know, it started with Mobile World Congress, and then I saw my family before it, and then... in France, because they're very close. Mm-hmm. And then I went to South by Southwest right after, and they were really lumped together this year. It was like, oh, I barely made it back to the U.S. Right. Ah, I got to go to Austin. And then I went to a conference in Idaho, of all places.
Idaho. I know all about the Idaho.
Idaho.
What'd you think?
Well, it's not my first time at that conference, but it's beautiful. The mountains are great.
Yeah, so, what conference?
It's called DENT. It's about... futurism and innovation.
Oh, wow.
It's really weird.
I saw some stuff pop up from
It's sponsored by Buick.
Oh.
Interesting. And was it in Sun Valley?
Sun Valley.
Okay. All right.
So I went to that, and then, you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, look, I was gone for a month.
Yeah. You blink, and then you wake up, and you're like, whoa.
I'm in Petaluma. I know.
What happened? How did I get here? But, well, it's great to have you here.
You know, we got a lot of good hardware since Mobile World Congress, so we're going to talk about
it. Today is one of those episodes.
We're going to talk about that.
We got a lot of hardware today. We're going to be discussing, well, before we get to the hardware, we're going to be discussing Android's dominance as an OS. It's a dominating OS.
Dominating.
We've got some news on that. The new PAX cross-licensing. What is this?
Dominating my muscles.
Oh, I see. But you're flexing upside down. You're supposed to flex.
Well, I don't have anything to flex up here.
All right, fine, whatever. The new PAX cross-licensing patent program, the Samsung Galaxy S and S8 Plus announcement, which I feel like we're literally the last podcast to talk about it.
That
would be absolutely
because
correct.
Because of our date.
Yep. LG G6 we've got in-house. The Moto G5 Plus we've got in-house. The HTC U Ultra. And all of its drippiness.
Drippy?
Looks like, well, it looks like fluid. It looks like it's drippy and fluid. It
looks just fluid.
So curvaceous. And I don't know. It's a nice looking phone.
It's freaking
sexy.
Would you
say it's the Kim Kardashian of the Android phone?
I would never call anything the Kim Kardashian of anything.
That's right. That's
but you could say that. It's really nice. We're going to talk all about those. Miriam's Hardware Shack.
is what it'll be called.
That's what the new show is called, actually.
That's the rotating segment.
Yeah, the hardware shack.
When one person takes over the hardware segment, it is forever known as the hardware shack.
We apparently go out to a shack in Petaluma and hang out with a bunch of goats and sheep as we talk about smartphones. That's really what happens.
That's why they call it the brick house.
Yep.
Because it's a sheep shack.
That's true. Well, sometimes you trip over them on the way into the studio. But
they're so cute, though. They're so cute.
We've got a few pre-news things here. Jay Shrimplin from Maryland wrote, I have to disagree with the suggestion of naming O as orange. A year of you and the media comparing apples to oranges is more than I could take. And that might be the exact reason that they do not call it orange.
We need a sound effect.
And I'm really disappointed that we did not pick up on that last night.
I know.
It's pretty good.
Really lost opportunity, bad move, y'all. Guys.
That's why we have viewers.
Yes, viewers.
Thank you,
like
Jay.
You.
That was awesome.
Viewers like you.
Thank you. In the second of three pre-show or pre-news things, Pinky Tuscadero on Twitter did a mashup of the All About Android podcast art with characters from Archie comics, and it kind of works. Although Ron, you took issue with being Jughead.
Yeah. No, I said, well, by you know, I'm likely Jughead. So that's fine. I like Jughead. I do like burgers. So that's fine. I'm going to own that.
Jughead was my favorite character when I was a kid.
Jughead's pretty good. Jughead's great on the new Riverdale show. He's one of the best characters.
Oh, so. I need to Which, jump Flo, on that.
Flo, you need
I
to
know,
jump
I know.
That.
I got
to right up your alley. You're missing out on Luke Perry every week.
I was
big into Archie comics when I was a kid. And finally, on Twitter, we heard from Richard Oldroyd, who said, catching up on All About Android with a brew, and he attached a video. Could
catching
we get that?
Catching up on All About Android with a brew.
Oh, I recognize that mug. That's how you sell mugs right there.
That is, I don't think I can do that.
Man.
We need Richard for some marketing.
I know. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Twit.tv/store. Plug. Okay, without further ado, it's time for the news.
Well, springtime is here, so lend us your ear and watch Android News.
Over here.
Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while since we had a rhyming news bit.
I know.
It's good,
I
Brian.
Forgot
Hold
how
on.
Much I've missed it.
Yeah, I feel like rhyming should be a prerequisite now. Like he's figured out the Android news intro. Now you make them all rhyme from here on out.
Man, you guys are setting the bar high for this.
Hey, man, you showed up. You got to take the challenge. But you know who also took the challenge, and that's Android. The challenge of operating systems, and now dominance is raining down. Web analytics company StackCounter says that the internet is used on Android devices more than Windows machines for the first time ever. The March 27 StackCounter numbers give Android a 37.93% market share over Windows' 37.91% market share.
It was a small bump, but...
Small bump, but when you talk about the scale of users that they're counting here, it's totally legit here. And it's important to note that these numbers refer to usage and not to actual users or app installs or things like that. It's devices accessing the internet. And it's also, I think this is also an indicator of just the trending way we're using technology. PC sales have declined. Mobile sales continue to be strong, if not continue to grow, especially in emerging markets. And, you know, probably the cheapest device to access the internet you can get now is an Android phone. So there it is. Android is on top. We're number one.
We're number one.
Don't sound too excited, guys.
This is just the way it is up here. We're used to it.
Yeah, we've always been the best. Come on.
Yeah. Oh. Well, we've always felt like we were the best.
Well, they just caught up with us.
I know. Now they know too. See, that's
in retrospect, I can admit, looking back on the early days of Android and comparing it to iOS, like the early days were rough. But I feel like now Android is mature and ready to receive the credit it deserves. I think. Yeah.
It's but ready to receive its Jughead crown.
But there's kind of like medium news below that, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Just from App Annie.
Yeah. So App Annie also reports that Android as an operating system is going to top iOS in App Store revenue this year. You know, and mainly this is from growth in China. And is a huge illustration of why Google wants into China so badly, because there's so much growth on the Android platform. And if this was just Google Play, the report says that it wouldn't surpass Apple until at least 2021. So this is Android sales overall over iOS, not just the Google Play Store.
Right.
But that's really interesting. A lot of people using Android and they're spending money. So.
Yeah, and if Google tap in on that market, I mean, in China specifically, like, just think, man.
Just think they could take over the world.
They could take over the world.
I have a friend who works in Hollywood and production, movie stuff and whatever, and he, on a regular basis, says all roads lead to China. He said they're just moving as much work over there as possible because that's where the money is. So.
Wow. Well, good news for Android. What? Android, you're doing good. Keep it up.
Doing the thing.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
You be you, Android.
I'm confident to say that Android is a friend of the show.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Just as an entity.
We welcome Android onto the show every single week.
And so we should give it the credit it deserves and the pat on the back. Android, you're doing good as a little robot guy.
Yeah.
You go. Speaking of robots, is anybody looking forward to the eventual robotic dancing that will ensue at Google I.O.'s annual concert fest?
Yeah, you figured that one out. You got there. I didn't know where robots and I.O. were going to collide. Me either, but I just let that one go.
I know. It might be because I'm actually hydrating for the show this week.
Yeah, right.
Which really helps, by the way. But anyway, there is some good news for those of you that are coming out to Mountain View. Those of you that are not, we're really sorry, but that's what Snapchat's for. Google I.O. agenda is now showing some of the scheduled sessions, which is giving a bit of a look into what we are going into. Of course, it doesn't list everything, but to start, we can see that there is a two-hour keynote headed by the one and only Mr. Sundar Pichai, followed by your usual talks on Android things, Internet of Things, Firebase, what's new in Android O, accessibility feature changes, changes in mobile ads, what's coming to Google Assistant. There's just a lot of stuff coming to the table that we don't even know about, you guys. And all of this is happening May 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California.
And they are going to have the Android Fireside Chat, which is always a really fun one.
Yes. Last year, I feel like
a fireside chat in the blazing heat of Mountain View is just not nice.
Well, it's the fire in the sky.
That's what I was going to say. So last year it was not as intimate as it normally is. Not that like the Moscone Center is particularly intimate when you're having those things happen there, but the room is smaller. They had a bigger room last year with air conditioning blasting. I couldn't hear very well the answers to the questions. It felt really like, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's more different this year.
Yeah. We'll but so in years past, Google I.O. kind of sessions were announced and you could dive in there and you could kind of like do detective work on it and understand a little bit more than we already knew. The difference now, of course, and it was the same last year, is that by the time the schedule is released, we already have the developer preview. I already know a lot about kind of the bigger efforts that are part of the Android, the next version of Android. So I.O. sessions maybe a less revealing now than they have been in years past. But there's more to reveal anyway
with Android O. I feel like Nougat Android N was just kind of, made itself known.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but if you look at last year, I was going to say, because the whole purpose of this is that it's a developer conference. And so it's really not an announcement news kind of, it shouldn't be at least. It should be around developing with Android. And of course, releasing the developer preview in advance helps. But look at last year, we got Daydream, we got Google Home, right? Like they did make announcements and they did have new stuff, but there's not going to be programming around those announcements, so it's a mixed bag. I don't feel like they got to get to like a 75% really focused on development, 25% of like newsy coverage stuff, excuses for journalists to go, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Are you going to be there?
I should be. Awesome. I said that I was invited, but I still haven't received my invitation. So I don't know. I think they're just messing with me probably. It's probably going to be like, oh, we don't have one anymore. I don't know.
Or last minute. Oh, yeah, we got you. Why are you worried?
They said, yeah, we've got you. And then they said, look for an invitation late March. And it's like
it's April.
So, and you guys got yours.
You've been gone for a month, though, right? Is it in the pile of mail?
Yeah, I bought mine through Women Tech Makers.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm not too worried. Mm-hmm. They promised me one, so I'd be kind of rude for them to kind of
yeah.
backtrack, considering
follow up with them.
They have find you a friend at the shoreline. We could find you a friend.
They haven't invited me for 3 years in a row, even though I've asked. And I was like, you know what? It's cool. You know, last year, even if they invited me, I couldn't make it because I was in Taiwan. But this year, I'll be here. So, woo.
Do it. Apply that sunscreen. Make sure you apply a lot of sunscreen.
We're both thinking about the sunscreen. We see where our minds are.
Yeah, I got a sunburn over the weekend, so it's top of mind. So, well, and, you know, we haven't heard a whole lot about patent wars lately, thankfully.
Thank God.
There are some changes. Google is announcing a new patent licensing program called PACS. Members include Google, Samsung, LG, HTC, Foxconn, HMD Global, Coolpad, BQ, and AllView. 230,000 patents globally, with more added as new members take part. And it's a cross-licensing deal, right? Like, they all have access to the ability to implement these things and not have to worry about other members suing them out of existence because they're stepping on each other's toes. This is an agreement, a kind of a ceasefire of sorts. And, I mean, I feel like a couple of years ago, this would have been super valuable. Not that it's not valuable now, but I feel like things have really calmed down in that regard, or at least they've been getting a lot less publicity if they're still as ramped up. There have been a lot of agreements that have happened leading up to this. So this
is very possible, the publicity thing, because there's other things that are being
written about.
We haven't had a big dramatic one like the Samsung Apple one in a while.
That's true.
And you know, and I think that left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So I'm not surprised. Although I do got to say, I wonder, the Penny Arcade people must be excited about this, considering that they have
the Penny Arcade
events.
Expo. Yes.
Yeah, several events called PAX. So it's
there's like, also the vaporizer company.
Wouldn't know about that.
Crickets. Crickets.
Is that really California of me? Sorry, everyone.
I'm sure.
Three people made that joke on Twitter today. I thought I was making a joke that everyone knew, but it didn't work.
Yeah, that didn't work for me. Thank you.
There they are. Moving along.
What do you think, Miriam? Was this necessary? Is this
I think it's good
for Android?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the reality is this, right? Everybody's kind of copying everyone else. Mm. And then they get all in the tizzy and get into lawsuits. So if we can have like a portfolio of patents that everybody can use and agree to kind of cross-license, everybody's better off, right? Because, I mean, ultimately then the true innovation happened. It's no longer like a bunch of lawyers duking it out in the courtroom. It's actually like technology being able to move forward because you don't have to worry about it stepping on the toes of your partners, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that they're kind of like ahead of time, like kind of like agreeing is a good thing because there's no surprises that way.
When you're talking about a cross-licensing deal, like in my head, I see it as like a menu almost. You know what I mean? Like there, on one hand, there is approaching product design by saying, here are the ideas that we have for it based on where we are right now in time. And, oh, would you look at that? That's very similar to that thing over there, isn't it? And then in another way, I look at this and I see 230,000 patents. Is this just a menu that they now have the ability to like open up and be like, whoa, what's in here that we can implement into our phone now?
I think it's a matter of the fact that they're just covered. And to Miriam's point, that there's been so much innovation and so much copy and stuff like that. You know, we've gotten to the point now where general concepts are patented. And so if you want to implement something, it's less about building yourself and knowing who do you license it from to get. It's almost like software libraries now.
Yeah.
You know, like nobody's gonna write, you know, checkout code or credit card processing. They're going to use somebody like Braintree. You know, like you're going to grab a set of code that is out there to help build your thing faster and better, and you pay it forward by paying the license and things like that. So this is just smoothing the way for OEMs to make phones that all look the same. Oh no, this is the past 2 years.
Oh yeah, but, it sounds a little too familiar. Exactly.
Like innovation is going to be very, very hard because of this. Because how are people leveraging other people's patents?
Yeah,
but remember to pinch to zoom. Remember, since we're talking about the early days of Android, it wasn't until I think a month or two into the Nexus One that we got pinch to zoom on Android.
Yeah, before that, it was double tap to zoom.
Because of patents, because they had to work it out with Apple, because Apple's like, it's our patent. And if you think about it, how ridiculous would it be if one company owned pinch to zoom? It's got to be the most useful multi-touch gesture of all time, right?
So useful, yeah.
So, you know, this is kind of what I think this is kind of trying to avoid is like, you know, I don't know how Apple and Google worked it out. Back then, they were kind of buddies, so I'm sure it worked out pretty well. But I think, like, now if something comes along that everybody really would benefit from and would move forward the entire ecosystem of computing,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to, like, worry about somebody just hogging it, right?
Right, right.
So I think that's right. What I think this is a good thing. And it's interesting to see Nokia in there, right?
Mm-hmm. HMD Global.
Yes.
HMD,
because they've inherited a whole bunch of patents.
Yes.
It's too bad Microsoft isn't in there, though, because they have a
considering
lot.
The Android patents they that they lot. Still make a ton of money off of.
So,
mm-hmm.
interesting.
We'll why isn't Microsoft in there? That is a good
right?
question.
That's the first thing I noticed. I was like,
yeah.
What does that say about me that I didn't notice?
You were busy with building your case.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. Okay. Oh, by the way, we didn't show that off. Do you want to show it off real quick?
Sure.
And explain how you two can build this monstrosity.
Oh, my gosh.
Florence.
What have you done?
It is three-dimensional.
So disappointed. It is a Capuchon or Decoden case, whatever you want to call it. These are very popular on Etsy.
Oh, show it there in all of its glory.
So basically glory. The concept is show you take, is, like, yeah, so there's stuff it. Like popping out of it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. It looks like Hello Kitty threw up.
Yes. Speaking of which, she's right down here, actually.
Yeah, she's vomiting on your phone.
Oh, that's so meta.
I just, you know, you guys know me and my weird obsession with AliExpress. I finally pulled the trigger and I bought some of the Decoden, and then I started looking up how to make this, and apparently Mod Podge, the company who does all the like plaster stuff, they sell this stuff that looks like icing that dries like this, and it comes in a pink and a white variant, and then you just stick the little things in there.
I was
that's why I put the ring thing on it so I can hold it if somebody bumps me it doesn't fall out of my.
Oh, I see. It has to be this hand.
Yeah.
I was disappointed it wasn't edible.
But you guys should see what some of the people have made on the internet.
I'm sorry.
You know what? I will write about this. I will tell you all about it. It's actually quite fascinating just because it's this DIY network. It's incredibly silly, right? It's silly,
but
I love it.
Can you still put it in your pocket?
No, I don't put my phone in my pocket anyway. So yeah, it's not really an issue.
That would never work for me.
Just all about Kawhi now. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, I made another one last night, and I've got a couple more.
It's not edible, though, right?
No, it's not, but it's a little soft to kind of feel like icing.
Like if you're like, you're waiting at the bus, and you're like a little bored, and you're like, ooh, let's pop up a little cupcake off. And
I wish. Yeah, I'm so hungry right now for some candy.
Well, if you're hungry, Jason.
Yes.
It might be a good time to take a pause and thank our sponsor, Blue Apron.
Ah, good idea.
Oh, well done.
So this episode is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Number one, like Android. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with fresh, high-quality ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-proportioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. If you spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains, you can now spend under $10 per person on a delicious meal. Not all ingredients are created equal, so it's important to know where your food comes from. And Blue Apron sets the highest quality standards for their community of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And by shipping the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, Blue Apron is reducing food waste, which is fantastic. Their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. And Blue Apron delivers to 99% of the continental U.S. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Customize your recipes every week based on your dietary preferences and choose from a variety of new recipes every week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. They've got spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta cheese salata. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli, and baby broccoli and Fontina paninis with hard boiled egg and arugula salad. Those sound delicious, and I love cooking a Blue Apron. The instructions are so easy to follow. The ingredients are all proportioned correctly. I love to cook, but when you're working, it minimizes the shopping. The food comes right to you and makes it so easy to do. Blue Apron is the best. So check out this week's menu, and you'll get 3 meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And oh, so delicious.
We got our Blue Apron box earlier today.
Oh, so delicious.
It's like Christmas.
I honestly, I love cooking, and I love food, and Blue Apron is a dream. So there you go.
Are you about to eat Flo's phone? Because you're hungry from Blue Apron.
It looks
and it's
so
like
good.
The food that you have.
All that
so
stuff. And this looks yeah. so
I have to be honest, this tasty. It really does help with the stress. Stressful day.
You just you
whatever
pet,
it takes.
You pet your the gadgets on
there,
your gadget.
There is I get a little satisfaction at anyway. Mm. We're not gonna get into the psychology of the
Cabochon
case.
The tactile quality to your case.
Oh
man,
guys.
That thing is ugly. All right, I'm sorry. I know you love it. But wow.
It really is.
It was my first one, okay? I'll be better by the 12th time.
No, I'm not convinced that anyone can do that better. Like, I just think it just looks like that.
I'll show you next week.
Okay.
I'll show you.
I would love
week.
To see it. Let's talk a little bit or a lot about hardware.
I think we're going to be talking a lot about this hardware.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
hardware right here.
Not that no. one. No, newer hardware than this one. So last week, if you were paying attention, you may have heard that Samsung announced its two new flagship devices, the Galaxy S8 and Galaxy S8 Plus. They will be available in, I believe, 3 different colors to choose from.
At least here in the U.S. They had more colors, but they're not going to do the blue here in the U.S., and I was bummed.
The reason I bring up this color is because the orchid gray color remains my favorite, which is a beautiful blush purple sort of color.
But kind of a testament to how lame the colors are in the U.S. They're all just boring.
They're not boring.
Do you think they're not doing the blue? They're not doing the blue because of the blue pixel?
I don't know. I mean, they're doing
blue
outside.
They don't have red, and
the
Apple just did red.
Yeah, Apple just did red. The coral blue was a exclusive on the Note 7 as well overseas. Last year, the exclusive one was an emerald green one, which was just stunning.
Yeah, the emerald was amazing. But was that in the U.S.?
That was overseas. That was not in the U.S.
That's the thing. I remember the Galaxy S6, mm-hmm. and the colors were like, there was like 20 colors or something.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
Right.
And gotta we didn't get any of them. I think you're onto something, Jason.
Well, if they've got the colors, why not everywhere?
It's because Americans
maybe manufacturing.
It's because they sell mostly through carriers, and the carriers are boring, actually. That's what it
that's
is.
That's probably exactly
Ooh.
What
Or the carriers yeah. can't sell cases if the case is too pretty.
Yeah, there might be some truth
you're
to
just
that, too.
Yeah, from obsessed with cases.
Case in point.
Case in point.
Case in point.
Okay, you ready? Let's do this.
But if you're talking about cases, what about those crazy cases?
Oh, yes, cases. Those cases. Oh, do we have those cases?
Yeah, wait, I just pulled it up, Brian. It's in the chat.
Okay.
Pull that up.
We have to show these cases to you guys.
This is Samsung's response to wacky cases or showing off the phone and not letting the case get in the way of it.
I haven't even seen
this. For the Arctic Gray.
These are insane
cases. They're two-piece cases so that you can show the
what?
Maple gold or whatever you have in your hand.
How useful is this?
Oh my God.
It's bizarre.
So
yeah. And if you look on the accessories website, you'll see that it is a separate, like two separate pieces.
So you can interchange colors on both.
Yeah, here's another shot, Brian, if you want to pull this up. Yeah. You can interchange. You can basically have a different top and a different bottom. It's like a hat and booties for your phone.
That's
really
so
cute.
Ugly. God, maybe I just think everything is ugly today. I don't know. I can't tell. Is my perspective
okay?
off? That is so ugly.
I'm fairly certain that's ugly, Jason. I don't
totally
think it's
ugly. It is absolutely terrifyingly ugly.
That just looks unintentional and weird.
It's intentional. That's you know
the
Samsung?
Problem is it's intentional, but it looks unintentional.
Huh.
Anyways, what do you think? I mean, do you like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Wait a minute.
But I mean, why are you really asking me my opinion?
Exactly. She doesn't like that, but she likes that.
You would put, you would make a case, like two
I
pieces.
I love bulky. I
like,
love
you,
weird
you
stuff
would do
like
this.
Yes.
You would do this to both pieces.
I would.
The thing is, I appreciate this because you put your time into it.
Gotta ask Samsung for a review unit. Slash, do you mind if I put things on it?
All right, so what do we know about the S8?
So
the
what
S8
we do
Plus?
Know about it? So we know that the S8 is a 5.8-inch Super AMOLED Quad HD display with HDR content displaying capabilities.
That's cool.
It is a taller screen than what you're used to, or actually, I should say the S8 Plus, let me start that over, y'all. The S8 Plus with the 6.2-inch display is a lot taller than what you're used to, and significantly taller than what was offered on the S7 Edge. So yes. S7 Edge, 5.5 inches. This guy is 6.2, and it's nearly bezel-less.
It's a taller than the iPhone 7
it is.
Plus. So
it is. It's a gargantuan guy.
But it's narrow.
It is. But it doesn't mean it's going to... What I described it as was it's not going to burrow completely into certain pockets.
Yes.
Not all pockets are like deep anymore like they
used
to
be. But you get 6.2 inches of display.
But yeah, exactly. You get 6.2 inches of display. You don't have any on-screen navigation buttons. Or I'm sorry, you don't have any physical navigation buttons. Everything is on-screen now.
The hardware.
Which is nice.
But there is, I mean, didn't they say it's a pressure sensitive home
there
button?
There is a pressure sensitive.
So it's kind of like a hardware button.
Kind of like a hard, it gives you a little bit of haptic feedback. So, you know, if you're used to that on the Samsung phone, you kind of have, but you don't scan your fingers on there. Mm. You scan your fingers on the back.
So what's interesting though is that they really positioned the fingerprint reader in the most, I think, silly place possible next to the camera lens. And actually, if you're right-handed, in the place you're most likely to smear something on the camera lens before getting to the fingerprint reader. And I think it's because they want you to use the retinal scan unlock thing, which The Verge has shown can be unlocked with a photo.
It can. So, it's very quick.
What is that, the difference between the iris scanning and the facial recognition?
I don't know. I mean,
I think the iris scanning is a little different than the facial recognition.
All I know is that I think they want us to use that, which is why they kind of put the fingerprint reader there, but meh, kind of not really. And, you know, I think with the Note 8, we're going to see the fingerprint reader be underneath the front glass, like right behind through the display, basically. I think it's going to be the first phone to do that. Synaptics, the company who does the fingerprint readers, is working on it and just announced it on March 29th that technology is ready. So if you can, and they're shipping it quarter two.
What else is shipping quarter two?
I could see Apple using it for the 8.
Oh, yeah.
And then I could see Samsung for the Note 8.
That's an exciting feature. I would love that.
That would be great. Yeah. Right? I mean, honestly, I actually like fingerprint readers on the back, but I think the way they did it, where it's so close to the camera, is a little weird.
It is weird. It almost feels unintentional.
In their demo, they showed a hand with the finger on the reader, and like I'm holding, you know, like it does work if you hold your phone the exact right way. But Miriam, your point is totally great. We don't hold our phones the exact same way.
And you do have to reach
time.
Up on the S8 Plus, by the way, just
one,
in like
right?
my
like,
experience. Yeah, it's kind of like
you need like super like long fingers.
Yeah. So did you have hands on with it?
Yeah.
What did you think in person?
Well, my hands-on was a couple weeks ago, and I've already professed my love to the Orchid Gray color. I'm just so excited about that.
So that's it? You're switching from your Pixel to a Galaxy
S8?
No,
that's okay, but hold on. I'm not selling this phone. So I have to say, and this sounds so, final. Like, I don't want it to sound final because we don't have review units yet, guys. I only used it for an hour, and I was shooting photos of it, like, rapidly for Android Central. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like just knowing what I know about the camera. So this year, the camera is still 12 megapixels, refracing sensor on the back. Rumblings are it's a different image sensor, but I'm just sort of thinking, do I really want anything else when I feel like the Pixel's become my perfect smartphone camera? Well, do I really...
Look, I think there's a huge leap forward in... And so the camera is actually... The sensor and the lens are the same.
Right.
But the ISP, the image processor on the 835 at least. I don't know about the Exynos model.
Yeah.
Wow. The 835 is like a leap forward than what you have on the 821.
Right.
Which was a leap forward over what we had on the 820.
Right.
So there's like... So now we're looking at... And if you look at it, actually, we'll talk about this. So the G5 Plus I have, the Moto, has the same sensor and lens as the last year's Galaxy S7. But no OIS and a much worse ISP. And it looks good, but it's not even as good. Like, so really the ISP matters. And I really think that we'll be pleasantly surprised when the Galaxy SA ships that it probably will come closer to the Pixel or even beat the Pixel, simply because the you can throw so much more processing at it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But the one thing that I think about that is such a small little thing, but I just think about the difference between I took both the S7 Edge and the Pixel to New Zealand, and we went in a cave, and I compared the cave pictures, and I just remember I was not as satisfied with the pictures that came out from that, but I was so impressed by the Pixel, and that just made such an impression on me. So now I'm like, I don't want to be finite
hard
about
to do that. Yeah,
yeah, I don't want to be finite about what the camera is going to be like in the GS8, but. But
it's a little disappointing that they kept hard with it. I think we're going to be very impressed. And I think you have to remember that most of the time when you see Pixel pictures that are really blowing us away, they're using HDR+. They're super.
That's also true. That's also true.
Right. And a lot of the technology they're using on the Pixel, nobody else has. It's Google Tech that they developed for glass. Do you remember how amazing glass pictures were, considering the hardware was crap?
I didn't use glass.
The asterisk being considering the hardware
was crap. I mean, what it could get out of that hardware was insane. And I think, and remember, it would process them in the cloud, like, and bring them back to your device.
Which is amazing.
So now that can all be done on the ISP on board. Uh-huh. And I think that's what they leverage with the Pixel. And that's why they got rid of OIS. They didn't need it. But remember, if Samsung does the same kind of processing, which, you know, they kind of copy people. So if they do the same.
Everybody copies everybody. Exactly. I copied somebody today.
Everything's a remix, right? So if they copy that, and on top of that, they have OIS, I think we might see better photos. And I want to talk, we'll talk about the G6.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I think it competes favorably with the Pixel. And, and boom. So that, see what I'm saying? It's like it's, the Pixel raised the bar, and I think everybody's trying to meet that bar.
Right.
And that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
All around.
But before we get to the other camera comparisons, there's just a couple more things to cover in the S8, just for those of you who may have missed out on it last week. It's relatively unchanged in terms of like the extra features that are offered. Water resistance is still there. We still have Samsung Pay and wireless charging and fast charging. And yes, there's USB Type-C this year now, which... Finally. And yeah, as we were talking about security earlier, it's got iris scanning, facial recognition, and fingerprint scanning. So that's how you're going to get into this phone. And facial recognition was...
I'm excited by the display. I mean, I did not get a hands-on. I couldn't make it to New York, and I didn't know that they had a briefing in SF. They somehow forgot to tell me. Great. Thanks, guys. But anyway, but from what I'm seeing on video, that's... an approximation of real life, I guess. But it looked... the display is stunning to me. Samsung's
it's
always
It's those curved
had,
edges.
I think Samsung's
yeah, it's
always...
the curves.
And I love the round corners, which the G6 also has.
Yeah, looks really...
I'm kind of retro in that way, and I think it adds
They're
this
cute.
Kind of... like... It makes the phone look less like a square glass.
It's like it's like the anti-Sony.
And they say...
the Sony design is... The Sony Xperia phones are always just like... It's like you could cut yourself just picking up the device. This is like the opposite of that. Super soft,
and they actually
super
say
rounded.
That part of the reason both LG and Samsung did that is for shock resistance. So if it falls on the corner, it doesn't have a sharp angle to break.
That's good.
You're right. Yeah,
travel a crack through the display.
Yeah,
like the glass in the front will break potentially, but. The display will continue working underneath.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of the idea.
And that's what matters.
Because if you're that close to the edge of the phone, drop protection becomes much more of an issue, right?
Absolutely. Right. Two sort of last pieces of things to cover, and I'd love to hear what you guys all have to say about this, but Bixby and Samsung DeX. First, let's start with Samsung DeX, just because...
Which I think is going to be a dark horse, a sleeper hit.
Really? Okay. So,
I
want to hear what you have to say. So, just very quickly, DeX is basically this unlockable desktop environment that you can unlock in the Galaxy S8, but you need to have this dock, which I believe costs around $170. And this dock, you can connect all sorts of peripherals to it as you would a normal computer. So you can connect a monitor. There you go. You can connect a keyboard. You can connect a mouse via Bluetooth or USB, whatever you need to do. And it's got a fan built in to keep the phone cool because you don't want it to explode. But Ron, what do you think about this? Why do you think this is going to be a sleeper hit?
I think this is the innovation. Everything else, and I know this is just Continuum, and I know this is not a new concept that we've seen out there, but this is a major embracing of the idea of that your smartphone will be the only computer you carry, and that when you come home, you pop in a little thing, and then you can project it or use it on a monitor, have a keyboard, and have a mouse, and have it be – if you look at what people do online now – with the exception of weirdos like us who are doing high-end photo editing, high-end video editing, you know, kind of processor-intensive stuff, and gamers, everyone else, which is the majority of people out there, just need email, web browser, and cloud-based applications like Docs or Google Sheets or whatever it might be. There's so much you can do in the cloud now. This is the beginning of the death of the desktop computer, I think.
As an aside, Dex does have the Adobe Photoshop and Lightroom,
right.
And you have a couple Microsoft apps on there. So there's stuff,
yep.
And a couple of VPN clients. There's stuff on there that you would actually use.
Sure, yeah, but
yeah,
I just think that this is, and I know, and I when Jason and I were doing the live coverage of it, Jason, I know you disagree with me on this.
really?
If I remember correctly, I think the quote was, "I don't understand why."
That would be true, Ron.
The thing is that I don't think this is for us. I think this is for possibly the next generation of consumers. This is for the people who don't need as much as we do of all this crap that we need. And the paradigm or the idea of the desktop computer hooked up to a monitor with it, you know, being different from your TV. The video they showed during the event is a guy comes in his living room, puts the phone on the dock and on the coffee table, takes out the keyboard, looks up at his TV, and he starts to type an email. That's what the next phase is going to be. And so I think this is really interesting that they're doing. It's as aggressively and as consumer friendly as they are.
I can't wait for us to try it out in real life.
I have mixed feelings about it. I think I'm with Ron on the sense that I want to believe. Like, I have been chasing that universal computer that's in my pocket. That's also my desktop computer for years now. I bought an Okio Model 1 when it came out in 2004 and spent $2,400 on it. So I've been wanting to live that dream. But at the same time, I think you're being a little overly optimistic because this is not the first time this has been attempted and has failed.
Yep.
The Moto Atrix was the first that we really, really took it, tried to make it work.
Web
top interface. And then there was Continuum, which, as we know, has not proven to be
Selling point.
That great.
Yep.
And a good experience either.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will be resolved once Google gets serious about it. And bakes Chrome OS into Android or vice versa.
Because
here's the thing.
I am 100%
behind this, but I think right now, Android as a desktop OS, even with the tweaks that they've done, sucks balls.
Yeah, I would agree.
We need a Chrome OS instance on all of our phones that all our phones can just be put, even on a wirelessly, just be put in your room, and all of a sudden they can cast to a Chromecast and pick up a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, and you can say in the settings, go, I want you to now go into desktop mode on this Chromecast with these two input devices, and you're in full on Chrome OS mode, and you know, and then one of the windows is your Android apps that are running on the phone. That's, to me, would be the holy grail.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I agree too, and I think that once Google really embraces this on the consumer level, it will take off and blow up. But let's not discount that. Where is Samsung rank in terms of the manufacturers and the amount of units sold and the customer base? Really high, right?
You're right, but so who's going to buy the dock? Like, that's the thing. It's another accessory you have to buy.
We'll see.
To me, it should work without the dock. I should plug an HDMI cable into the USB-C.
Into your TV. Right.
Like, I should – look, I have – on me for my MacBook here. I'll show it to you guys.
Oh, no.
I have a
USB-C thing that would do the job. All you need
But that's not
plug
average
this
user. It's not $30
into USB-C, and then you plug your keyboard, your mouse, and your HDMI, and you're done.
There is something to be said for the puck that you just drop the phone in.
I agree, but my point is that the fact that it only works with DeX and that it requires some special software, but it's still not Chrome OS, is what kills it.
Right.
If I could use it on any phone with this, any Samsung phone with this for $30 or whatever accessory of my choice that's a dock, then I'd be good to go.
Yeah.
Right, but what Samsung is doing with this is they're creating, admittedly at a $170 price point, but they're creating something that the average person can go into the Verizon store or whatever and go home and buy and start using, which I think is a big deal. I think that's it's a very big deal. So
ultimately, we'll see how many.
And it might not work. Not work. I think you got to break some eggs. You got to break some eggs before you make the
omelet. I'll use it here on All About Android for like three shows. We'll just have a monitor here and just. I was seriously thinking of bringing my yoga book here. I love my yoga book, but I have the Android version, and it's completely sucks. Mm. It's like, and there's a Windows version that also sucks because Windows is too heavy for that hardware. So what we really need, and I told Lenovo this, is we need a yoga book that runs Chrome OS, and apparently they're working on it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The fact that they didn't do that from the get-go, I mean, you're running a Chromebook right now, and imagine shrinking that down to the yoga book.
And this is my purse computer, by the way.
There you go.
This is my purse computer.
I see you with a nice merce.
Anyway, Bixby.
Bixby. So yes. Bixby is not just the name of the chick that you shared a root beer float with at the soda pop shop.
Is that what happened to you?
That's what happened to me back in the 50s.
The Archie comparison really ran. You really ran with that, didn't you?
Bixby's actually the artificially intelligent assistant that lives inside the Galaxy S8. Now, it lives alongside Google Assistant, or what will be enabled Google Assistant on the Galaxy S8, but it serves a slightly different purpose so that it's not completely stepping on the toes of the Googs. And that purpose is to help you around the world of using your Samsung devices. So whether it's, hey, Bixby, could you please edit a photo for me and post it to Facebook? Bixby will do that for you, and it'll know how you want that posted to Facebook, and you won't have to worry about watching it. But of course, it's going to take some time for that to learn. This is all theoretical, by the way. Did not use this during the session that I had with it. Like, it wasn't really live, but it kind of was.
So the difference being it's a phone assistant, as ScooterX in chat says, not like a web assistant.
Not a web assistant. So it's not a search engine. You do not ask Bixby to tell you what movies Nicole Kidman's been in. That's what you ask Google. I mean, Bixby could probably answer that for you.
You'd think it would pass.
Anybody
it on
can
to
answer that.
Yeah, you would hope there'd be some.
Just go on the internet to find out about Nicole Kidman. But the
Eyes wide shut. That's all you need to know.
Are you Bixby, Ron?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay, Bixby. Covering the identity of Bixby.
Okay, Bixby, go on the internet.
Ron's been moonlighting.
I'm frantically Googling things all day. It's just
yep, I'm Bixby.
we all are frantic. I mean, I'm sure, but. Yeah, so the interesting thing is Bixby requires your Galaxy S8 for now. But Bixby comes with its own hardware button that you push and hold to talk, kind of like an old Nextel phone.
I hope Boost you can Mobile, reprogram where you at? That button. I want something else on that button.
I know, right?
Bixby, I don't need it.
Maybe you do. Look, once you use it, maybe you'll be like, oh, I get it.
No, we need Google Assistant to start doing the stuff that Bixby does locally on the phone. That's what we need, because that's where Google Assistant is not that great right now. Is able to run your phone when you're not connected to the internet and do
totally.
Stuff. And I mean, we use it for setting timers and stuff all the time. That's probably what people use it for the most, and checking the weather, I guess. But like, the weather needs the internet. You know, I don't know. I think it's interesting. But in the same way as S Voice was a disaster, I'm very cautious here, because replicating the wheel kind of sucks. And I think that's
but
the
Samsung
problem.
Like, loves to do
we already
that.
Have like Alexa, and we have Cortana, and we have Siri,
and
we
have
Assistant.
We have Assistant. Yeah.
And it's like, do we really need another one? Like,
no.
But, you know, but we all know Google Assistant is the best, right? I mean,
the best.
But that's not Samsung's MO to sit back and just say use Google Assistant. We need to do our own. And
can they learn their lesson? Can't they just make good hardware and shut the app?
Well, they're not going to do that because they're building for people to exist in the same. Like, you live your life, and Samsung allows you to. Samsung's the connective tissue that allows you to.
The Galaxy S8 is all about living the Samsung life. It's all about pushing you. Yep. The software that comes on is all about pushing you into the Samsung ecosystem. You know, it's the whole thing with Dex. It's the whole thing with Bixby. Yep. The full picture is going to come to us when this phone is finally in our hands and we're using it. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see. And I was, as you were speaking, I was thinking just about like the LG G6 and how it was like the G6. It now comes with Google Assistant. Google, we come with Google, but that's not Samsung's marketing angle.
No, Samsung doesn't care about the Pixel. Samsung doesn't care about Google. Samsung is 100% using Android as a platform to compete with Apple.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I get all this. I just don't think there's any. It's not useful, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, none of the stuff they've ever done was useful ever. Remember when they had on chat or whatever it was?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I mean, none of the stuff they've ever done, their music service, I mean, I could go on and on. There are some things that they're doing that I think are great.
Selective Focus is really good.
I think Galaxy Gear, the watches
Gear
are
VR.
Really awesome. Gear VR is really awesome.
There's a new one coming, by the way.
Exactly. You have to. Right?
With a remote, which is nice. Hey, if you guys are interested, the Galaxy S8 right now for pre-order, $750 for the regular 5.7-inch one. Regular 5.7-inch one. I never thought I'd say that in one sentence.
That is the world we live in now, Flo.
And the S8 Plus, pre-order it for $850. That's the 6.3-inch. Pre-orders are open. You get a free revised Gear VR with that, so you'll be in the zone with your new VR hardware powered by Oculus. There's also a new Gear 360 that's coming out, second gen. That one can do 4K. It's also got a more travel-friendly body. I will say the last Gear 360 is not as... It's a little bulgy.
But I really like the legs. I wholeheartedly agree.
But this one comes with a cute... This one comes with a cute little like leg stamp that it goes in.
Okay.
So, right. I appreciate it.
There you go. That's the Samsung announcement, which you may have at this point already heard most of the details anyways, because we're a week late.
It launches April 21st.
And I'm going to be pre-ordering one.
Same.
You're going to get the Orchid Gray, right?
Probably.
We should also mention really quick, to wrap up the Galaxy S8 announcement, is that T-Mobile is the first carrier in the U.S. to offer gigabit LTE with the Galaxy S8 on
their network. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, really?
Wow. That's right.
Up to 900 megabits per second downloads. Of course.
As long as you're not inside a building.
No, it depends on the bands, but I think we're not going to see those speeds on it. We're probably going to see 400, though, which is
monstrous.
Pretty
that's
amazing.
Crazy.
And that is possible because Qualcomm's got the 835, which has a Category 16 LTE modem in there, the first of its kind, which allows you gigabit LTE.
And was
very proud to be the first to introduce this thing in the U.S.
Of course.
So as far as it's going to probably work on two cells in Seattle, but
I was just going to say, as a T-Mobile customer, I got to tell you, they got to solve the band problem because, as a T-Mobile customer though,
I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm kind of particularly excited about the GS8 simply because it can do gigabit LTE. I want to see what it's like.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if it's any different from that ZTE gigabit phone that was being shown off at MWC.
So that was 835 as well. So all of these were 835 based. Also the Sony, whatever it's called, the 835 based Sony, the XZZX Premium, whatever. Do you remember? Like, somebody on the chat room right now, give it up to us. Come on. Sony, whatever flagship from Mobile Congress. Go. No, okay, never mind.
Sony flagship.
What does that say about Sony phones in the United States?
All right. Sony. So anyway, should we move on to the G6?
Well, not yet. Ron, real quick.
I want to hear about this.
Upgrade.
So a little bit of it's very rare that I get to chime in on the Hardware Shack game, but found myself in the enviable position of shopping for a new TV recently and did some research and ended up picking the Vizio E-Series TV, which is Vizio includes what they call SmartCast technology, which basically was, you know, all, if you go shopping for TVs now, you know, a lot of them are running Android TV, which is interesting. A lot of them are running Roku software. A lot of them are running, you know, the Samsung has their own smart TV stuff with all the apps and stuff like that. I don't want any of that. I just wanted a dumb monitor that would allow me to plug a Chromecast in, an Amazon Fire Stick in, and then a HDMI cable into my computer. And I realized I stumbled upon the E-Series, which has Chromecast built in already. So you don't even need to sacrifice an HDMI cable in order to use it. And so as soon as I saw that, I went, whoa, this is the TV for me. And sure enough, it is just a dumb monitor. And as you scroll through the inputs, in addition to the two HDMI port or two or three HDMI ports and a component port, there's an input that is Cast.
Can't be that dumb if it's giving you Google Cast.
No, it's great, but I mean, by dumb, I mean that there's no other software. This is something I learned
smart
from Patrick
TV
Norton.
Layer.
Yeah, like, Patrick Norton taught me this years ago. Buy a dumb monitor and then hook boxes into it. You don't want to have a TV that's got software in it because then that needs to be updated and all that sort of stuff.
And you're paying for that, right?
Yeah, and I got to admit that this setup was one of the easiest and smoothest setups of a TV I've ever been involved. You know, any sort of device, you plug the TV in, it automatically sets up Chromecast just like you set up the hockey puck Chromecast.
Beautiful.
And it creates a Wi-Fi hotspot in the TV. You connect your phone to it, you send all your network information, and then it lights up on your Wi-Fi network, and then just Chromecast just works, and it is smooth as silk, and I love it. Nice. So. Strongly recommend if you're a Chromecast user and you're looking for a TV upgrade, you save an HDMI port because you don't need the external Chromecast anymore. It's already in the TV itself. And then it just opens you. Now, literally, there's nothing online that I cannot stream. I've got Plex running from my desktop to my personal video stuff. I've got, you know, all the apps that have Chromecast enabled on my phone. And then for the one corner that doesn't play with Chromecast with Amazon, I got the Fire Stick in one of those HDMI ports, and it's all set. So really reasonably priced, too. Really, like, and great picture. The 60-inch version is not what I got. But that does offer 4K. I did not get a 4K a 4K monitor, unfortunately, because I couldn't get as big as we all would like. I went a little smaller because I live with someone else who doesn't want a huge TV.
You went with a 60-inch instead of an 80-inch.
Yeah, but the TV does have an Ethernet port. So to answer your question there in the chat room, there is an Ethernet port. The TV is currently plugged into Ethernet, which is great. So you don't have any speed latency or anything like that. But it's also got Wi-Fi. So, Vizio E-Series, about as friendly as it gets with Chromecast. And I love it. Every night I weep a little. I'm so happy with this TV.
Cry yourself to sleep, but it's good tears. Yeah.
As long as you're good. Middle.
I mean, it's amazing. Just I got to give them credit. They kept it simple, and all it is just Chromecast. And for some reason, they call it SmartCast, which I guess that's just marketing because they're trying to get people who want smart TVs or whatever. But I read the reviews on like Amazon, and there's like literally the reviews are either like 5 stars or no stars. And the 5 stars are the people who get it, and the no stars are like, this TV doesn't have any apps. I can't figure out how to play Netflix.
Oh, brother.
So
those are the people that we have to blame.
But that's a marketing challenge, and that there's a huge audience that doesn't get the idea that I'm gonna pick what I want to watch on the phone and send it to the TV via the casting technology. And even though they make it dead simple in the instructions and on the box and stuff like that, there's still many, many people who just don't get it. So
but so for pick us up who a do get it and just
exactly
set it and forget it, y'all.
I can't wait.
The remote is the most like nothing remote I've ever seen because it just is. It's just a power. It's just a power button. I can't really see. So hang on. It's just a couple of little buttons here and there. Yeah, look at that. All you've got is power and input, and then volume and change the channel, and just a couple other buttons to change the input. That's it. There's actually a Vizio TV app that they have you download. That replicates some of the Chromecast stuff and bubbles up apps there and stuff like that. But I can control the TV from my phone. I don't even need that remote. I can change the brightness. I can do all the settings.
I was gonna ask, does the remote take batteries?
The remote does take batteries. But like honestly, I never use the remote. I just use the TV. I can change inputs with the app. I can change, I can change any of the TV settings, contrast and things like that. It's all done on the app. It's like this is the first home theater device with Android in the mix that feels like this is the next generation. This is the future. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
I can't wait for iFixit to tear down the TV and find a little hockey puck Chromecast.
Yeah, just like mold it in.
Just hanging.
With the red case on it and everything. They didn't even take the case off.
Exactly.
And it's really important to note, a lot of people, when I talked about this on Twitter, but a lot of people pointed out there was an issue or a concern, privacy concern of Vizio, where they had a listening function going on the TV, on some of these smart TVs that was defaulted to be on. But this is the latest model of these TVs that is defaulted to be off. So it's not a problem out of the box. So those who read about that, there you go.
Excellent. All right. Let's take a break. Thanks, sponsor. And then we'll come back for
Hardware Shack.
Hardware Shack. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is going to help you if you're looking for a mortgage or you're looking to refinance your mortgage. If you've done it before, you know that it's a very manual, analog process usually. You have to pull all this information from a million different places, go diving into stacks of paperwork in order to find the details that they're going to need, meet with someone in person, the whole nine yards. Well, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is different. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's very important to work with someone who you can trust, who has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you're going to get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. You'll do it completely online. You don't have to waste time searching through those stacks of paperwork. Do it online. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial information to get a mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and the length of your loan in real time. Kind of, you know, throw those numbers all around to find, you know, a mortgage solution that's just right for you. And whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. So skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, this is kind of rapidish fire, Miriam's Hardware Shack, because you've got one, not two, but three devices, and we can maybe spend 5 minutes per device.
All right.
You know what you should do before we head into the shack? You should get some energy.
Oh, yeah.
For the rapid fire.
Do you see this t-shirt, guys? If what anybody is that recognizes. Wait for it. Hang on. Oh, this way.
These microphones are just always in the way.
See, look at this t-shirt. Do you guys recognize who this is?
It says Dash Charge.
Is it Dash Rendar?
Dun, dun.
Nice flow.
Check us out. Like, bring up the local camera. I have this.
Oh, man. That camera shot just gives me a headache thinking of all those.
All that sugar.
Like,
what did, which sponsor just paid me $50, right, to wear this t-shirt? Well, you guys know Dash Charging, OnePlus. OnePlus 3, OnePlus 3T.
Did they really pay you $50
to wear
this?
Did not pay me $50.
Oh, okay.
But I had this t-shirt from a while back. I think it came with a OnePlus 3. Remember? It came with a OnePlus 3.
I didn't get a t-shirt.
Yeah,
I just got a phone.
The box had all kinds of stuff, including the VR goggles for it. Like, it was like the whole kit, review kit. And then this is their April Fool's drink, apparently. So I'm like dashing today.
Where was it made?
China, probably. I don't know. You look. What is it? What is
distributed
it say?
By Dashang International Trade Co. Limited,
dangerous.
Not for sale. Made in the USA. So
okay, I'm gonna try live on TV. Watch out.
All right, here we go. Oh my God! I hope it doesn't move me.
Yeah, move your technology.
Oh God!
It did happen. Not too bad. Okay. Good. So,
Now,
it already smells terrible.
I'm not surprised.
Woo! It smells like a... Sorry about that microphone.
Oh my God. Wow.
Is it Red Bull?
The flavor.
Do you want to try it? It's pretty bad.
No.
Who's got some paper towels back there? because we need to clean this mess before it goes on the carpet and
Oh boy.
Enough of this.
Ooh, that smells like college. Let's put for this, me.
It smells like a bad bar. Like a really bad
bar. Oh, a bad bar. I drank a lot of vodka Red Bulls back in my day.
So that's
anyway. a 1+1 joke? Like a 1+ April Fools?
Yeah.
It's 1+ to your energy level. That's what it is.
Is the April Fools after you drink it?
Yes.
I guess.
Oh, exactly. It's very aromatic.
I met with Eric, their PR guy, the other day for coffee. He said, "Here, we're doing this for April Fools." It was like March 30th or something, and I was like, "Oh my God, Eric, you're awesome!" All right, let's talk about the G6 here. So, this is a pretty cool phone. Can you maybe bring it up just quickly?
Oh, and there we go.
Look, I took my monstrosity away.
I do have the Google Now launcher on there, so let me just put the regular launcher so that you guys can see what it looks like. There you go. Otherwise, you won't see the full beautifulness of this screen. So this is a white one, which doesn't exist in the U.S., but it's a U.S. model.
It's really pretty in person. And can we show the side?
I don't know if it's the screen that's super bright or the camera
The one in front of us is bright. That one up there shows.
Okay, good. So anyways, you can see this is a gorgeous phone. And just as a point of reference, I have my Pixel here in a case. And as you can see, 5.5-inch display here on the Pixel versus 5.7. As you can see, this 2.1 aspect ratio display is taking up about 83% of the screens of the front of the phone. And I think this is where we're going. The Galaxy S8 is doing the same. To me, this is the most exciting part about this phone is the display. It's gorgeous. It's IPS. Mm-hmm. Get this, 2880 by 1440. Mm-hmm. It's exactly 2:1 aspect ratio, 18:9. And then, in the back, you've got the signature dual camera and fingerprint reader. This camera, if you want to zoom in a little bit, I don't know if I think you had two cameras set up. Ooh. So there's a wide angle and a regular. And this year, they're both 13 megapixel.
They're so good, by the way.
But they're so good.
Like, they're so good.
Almost, I would say in some cases better, but most of the time almost as good as a Pixel.
And what does the dual camera allow on the G6? Because they all do different things.
So it's the same as the G5 and the V20. Which is wide angle and regular, and I can show you some examples in the camera app here, in the photo gallery, wherever it is. There's a gallery, so let's see if I can find some examples. There's actually a good example I took. So this is the same shot in wide angle versus
it's just beautiful
closer up. Oh, right?
Interesting.
So you can see how we're just seeing the same angle, but. And then I think I've got a few more. Nice. Let's see. There's another one. So this is actually from the exact same vantage point in San Francisco. So this is the normal view, right? This is what you would normally see. And this one here is the wide angle of the same shot. See?
Oh, wow. That's
a
big difference.
So the wide angle really makes a big difference.
When you look at that Prius on the left, right? Between this where it's off in the distance and there, it's right on the corner.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
So that's from awesome. The exact same position. This is nothing new. The G5 and the V20 had this, but this is a new camera system in a way because it's an old sensor. It's the IMX825, I think, which is Sony's sensor from 2 years
ago. Show it off on my side here.
And and it's it's interesting because it's only small. They're small pixels. They're 1.12 microns. Whereas, the big thing about the Pixel makes it so good is that it has the f/1.8. Mm-hmm. And this one does too. But it's also got these massive pixels on the Pixel. Hence the name, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's why they call it the Pixel. But this only has 1.12 micron. And LG's, been using these 1.12 microns for a while because the previous phone had that too, but they had 16 megapixels instead. So you lose a bit of detail and the ability to crop and zoom in a bit compared to last year, but somehow the image processing, and again, this is what we're talking about, is so much better.
It's the colors. It's the colors are so good.
The dynamic range, all kinds of things.
Yes, and so as the
As a result, this camera is brilliant. And then there are small other differences. Last year's wide angle on the V20 and the G5 was 8 megapixel. Now it's higher. It's 13. But they lost the OIS. So they have OIS on the normal camera, but on the wide angle last year, they had OIS. Now they removed that. But you know what?
I wonder if that matters.
No, because
for a
in
wide
low
angle.
Light, it does pretty well.
Yeah.
Because there's no autofocus on the wide angle. There never was.
Exactly.
So it's not really a big deal. Usually you're not looking at the kind of detail where it's going to be really blurry. And, I didn't find it to be an issue. So I think, they try to make this phone really slim. It's only 8 point something, like maybe 7.9 mil. I mean, it's pretty thin. And the cameras don't protrude at all. So
no, not at all.
So I think that they had to remove OIS for that and for that to work on that wide angle.
I mean, you can hardly even feel that
it's actually slightly recessed. You know that?
Yeah.
It's
very,
so it's actually interesting.
Slick back.
The f-stop on that wide angle is 2.4. So if you take a lot of night shots, it's going to be a little worse than the 1.8. But anyway, display's great. Camera's great. The build and materials. It's the first
really nice.
Time... And I'm really excited about this because I've been saying they should do this for a while now. It's the first time that LG has brought us a phone made out of metal and glass. It is, you know, machined and properly done. Last year's G5, as we know, was painted metal. I don't know why they were painting it. It looked like a car paint. It was really high quality. But they claim metal, but it didn't feel like metal. It felt like plastic. It was kind of cheap. And the modular thing just...
Yeah, it was hollow on the inside. That's
exactly.
why it felt like...
I think
like
that's why it felt so...
It felt weird.
So anyway, this is beautifully made. Great great screen and camera. Great performance. It's Snapdragon 821, 4 gigs of RAM. One of the kind of downsides is that at least the US model only exists with 32 gigs.
Yeah.
It does have microSD up to 256 gigs. But some versions in Asia have 64 gigs on this phone. And... Also, the US version is the only one with wireless charging. So maybe we get a little less storage, but we get wireless charging, which is kind of interesting. And then, you remember the V20 had a special audio DAC in addition to the built-in DAC called the Hi-Fi Quad DAC?
Right.
There are versions of the G6 for Korea that have the Hi-Fi Quad DAC, but our US model does not. That being said, the output on the Red phones is really, really good. I think they're using Qualcomm's default codec, and it's really, really solid.
I used it as a radio player
over
the weekend.
It's got a mono speaker that's pretty loud and pretty decent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, overall, there's really very little to complain about with this phone. I loved it. And I think, you know, you look at the spec sheet, and you're like, this is such a last year's phone, you know, Snapdragon 821, right. 4 gigs of RAM, 30 gigs of storage. But then you start using it, and that great display, and the build quality, and the camera, and the performance... And it just falls together as like something that, as I wrote in my review, is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's why I think if you're looking at buying a new phone this year, you know, certainly the Galaxy S8 is something you're going to look at. But consider this phone, because in terms of software, it's very minimal, the skinning. It's really fast. And it's $100 cheaper at $650 right out of the box, no matter what carrier you're on. I think the Verizon's $20 more, but whatever.
And they all come with a free Google Home until April 30th.
So you get free Google Home. Yeah.
And I think T-Mobile's adding an extra something to that deal.
So, well, there was an offering of an extra TV.
Verizon had
Why so? Why is there why do they need to offer a free TV and a free Google Home?
Listen, No.
Don't say that.
That happens a lot. Now, remember, a lot of my parents get stuff that way. They'll buy something, they'll wait until something comes with like buy one, get one free, and then that's how they'll get stuff. So they'll get like three things for the price of one. No, it's good incentive to get people to buy things.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bundling is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because it comes with Google Assistant. Sorry, Mary.
You know, it's cool. The other thing I just don't want to forget while I think about it is this water resistance.
Yes.
IP68, so water dust proof. USB Type-C headphone jack is not gone, which is wonderful.
Yay.
I mean, really, there's very little to complain. It's running Android 7.0 maybe. I think it still needs 7.1.
I think it's 7.0, yeah.
So, I mean, it's coming. But look, you're getting a pretty awesome phone for the money. I think LG's nailed it. And I think that in the past, I've always said that their odd numbers are kind of meh, but their even numbered Gs are really great. The G4,
so it's like years for me.
It's like Star Trek.
Yeah, so like Star Trek. Yeah. So this, I think, is the G phone you want. If you're going to buy one, if this is a year for you to buy a G phone, buy this one. I'd say would definitely skip the G5, even if you can get a good deal on it, because this just, you know, forget about it after this guy.
Nice.
The next phone that I want to talk about, because I have
another G.
Yeah, and it's dirty, but it's the G5, Moto G5 Plus, and... we only get the G5 Plus in the U.S. We don't get the G5. So this is a $250 phone, up to $300, I think, if you buy the better specs. So it's Snapdragon 625, which, as you know, is probably the most efficient processor on the market today. I don't remember the size battery, but basically this isn't one of those phones that's going to last you 2 days on a charge most days, simply because of the Snapdragon
3,000 milliamp hour.
Yeah, 625. And then... it comes in 2 gigs, 32 gig model, or 4 gigs, 64 gig model. And 2 gigs, 32 is 250, and then the 4 gig 64 is 300, which honestly is pretty good because this is a nice phone. The only thing I don't like about it is that the backplate is metal and it's not removable, but the edge is all plastic. So there's a mismatch in color. If you look very carefully, you can kind of see it. This is a gold version.
That's why it looks like that. I thought that was intentional.
So this is metal, this part, but this part, and it's not removable. So you've got a SIM card slot and SD card slot on top, but the battery is sealed in there. And it's micro USB, which is a little bit bummer because we're starting to see
more peripherals,
USB-C on mid-rangers too now. Headphones, though, which is great. And then the display is 5.5 inches, 1080p. And look at this display. I mean, look at it. The colors are beautiful.
It looks really good in person, by the way.
Although the gold is a little...
It's a little bright right now. I'm going to turn it down so you can get a better feel.
Well, I meant the display look good. I like the gold, though. But I like gaudy gold.
Look at that. That is a beautiful display, right? So, you know, you can't complain about this phone for the money. The competitors are the Blade V8 Pro from ZTE that I reviewed recently. The Honor 6X, which or 6 Plus, whatever it is.
6X, I believe,
I reviewed recently as well. And these are good, but, I mean, this is going to get faster updates, arguably.
Yeah.
I mean, Moto hasn't really been quite as good anymore as they used to be, right?
Since they folded into Lenovo.
Also, remember, there's a G5 non-plus version. And it doesn't have, I think it's missing the fingerprint reader. Or it's a small. No, it does have it, but it's a smaller display, 5.2. And it doesn't exist in the U.S., so in a lesser camera. Speaking of the camera, this is the same camera as Galaxy S7 without OIS. So 1.4 microns, I think, pixels, f over 1.7. It takes phenomenal photos. It's not quite as good as the GS7 because you don't have the image processing of the GS7. But, you know, I mean, overall, this phone is, I think, pretty decent for the money. The other thing is there's an Amazon deal. Do you know the prices on that off the top of your head?
No.
Agree to get ads on the lock screen, you can get this phone, the 4 gig 64, which is
185.
So that's for the basic one, and then the high end one, the 464 is like something like 230 US for this phone with a few ads. I wonder, by the way, if you can crack that open and reinstall firmware.
That's a really... Why has nobody written that yet?
Nobody's ever explored that because it's got to be... Somebody's got to be exploring that. Yeah, that's right. The G5, which is not sold in the US, has a lesser processor, lesser camera, smaller display. You just don't want it. You want this guy... And if you're looking for... Oh, the other thing is this works with Sprint and Verizon, not just AT&T and T-Mobile.
Oh, that's great.
It's a full-on...
Finally.
I've got a Verizon SIM in there right now. And it's just happy as pie. Unlocked phone. You can use any carrier in the U.S. Even U.S. Cellular will work since there's CDMA as well. So, boom, right?
Boom.
It feels nice.
And then...
The past
So this one is looking really clean right now, but it's not going to last when I start touching it. Look at this
so
phone.
So pretty in person.
How beautiful this phone is.
It's just...
It's glass, but
it looks like drippiness.
It looks like it's wet all the time.
It looks like abalone.
And look at the dust. Like, just being in my pocket, it's like gathered a nice little coat around the camera here.
So the HTC U Ultra?
It's the HTC U Ultra. Let me... log in and remove my notifications from the tray here. So this thing is massive. And just as a point of reference, not to be a pain, but this is the future of phones. 5.7 inches, both. The G6 in size versus the U Ultra. Now, granted, the U Ultra has a secondary display like the V20 that shows you, you know, what you're doing next and your favorite contacts and a music player and the weather. And some of your apps, I can add an app to this here by holding this plus down and, you know, put Allo up.
Allo, yay!
Right? And then, you can put a memo. In this case, I put my handle on there so I know it's my phone if I find it. But this phone has a bunch of issues. The first issue is that it's really expensive. It's $750. But it only gives you, like, pixel level specs. 821... 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, and micro SD expansion in the SIM slot that's up there. It's a dual SIM and micro SD. I don't know if the US version is dual SIM, but you can clearly see that you can put a second SIM in there. I don't know if it'd work on the US model. But this thing, gorgeous for sure. Specs are kind of meh. And frankly, it performs as well as a G6, which is the same specs. But it just seems so big for what it is, right? And I think that's what a lot of people like. And it's thick, too. It's like something like that camera bump is like 2 or 3 millimeters.
I feel like a big beautiful phone would have been fine a year and a half ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now and, it's just not
another big
style.
Flaws is no waterproofing. So this is not water resistant. That's in a bummer. Any way. It has no headphone jack. And on top of that, like the Bolt previous to it.
Oh, yes.
Has a USB-C that does not support analog audio on the USB-C. So you can't use an adapter like the ones that are sold on eBay. You have to buy HTC's adapter because, it does come with bundle earphones mm-hmm. that have like some kind of magic trick of measuring the inside of your ear. But it's such a gimmick. They don't sound great either, in my opinion. So I want to be able to use regular headphones. And you need to buy an $11 adapter from HTC. It's not in the box to be able to, yeah.
It's not in the box?
It's not in the box. Come
on. Oh, my gosh.
And the worst is you're going to find that and go, I can just go on eBay and buy that other adapter. And that other adapter is just not going to work because that one works only on the ones that have analog.
But I shouldn't have to buy the adapter. It should come in the box, darn it, like on the Moto Z.
So it does have boom sound dual speakers. One is up here, one is down there. And it's not stereo. It's just one is bass, one is treble, like the M10.
Okay.
The 10, sorry, the HTC 10. And as you see, the fingerprints are all over.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Can I?
But yeah, I mean, look, the reality is this. What I'm trying to say is you can't go wrong per se spec-wise on this phone. It's about the same as a G6, but it's so much bigger, has no headphone jack, has no waterproofing. And then the secondary display is kind of a gimmick, like we know, like on the V20. The V20 brought so many other things to the table. The dual camera, the hi-fi DAC, the removable battery, the headphone jack, all that stuff. That this is like $750 seems really high for that.
Yeah,
you know?
It really does.
And I love HTC, and I love what they're trying to do. They really did a very unique design and color scheme on this one.
Yeah,
it's just incredible.
Beautiful.
But at the same time, you know, and the camera, the front camera is 16 megapixel ultra pixel, and the rear camera is the same as the 10. So it's like a 12 megapixel large pixels OIS. It's good, but it's not like, wow. Like, you know, it's not pixel level. It's last year's level.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. This phone is a lot of last year. And then if that wasn't the worst, on top of that, the battery is 3,000 milliamp hour and it has to drive this massive display. So the battery life is kind of middle of the pack. It's not bad, but it's not great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've only had it for a very short time, but at the same time, wow, you got a love note. At the same time, you know, I've read a lot of reviews and I can't blame the reviewers for what they've written about this phone. I think a lot of them are on spot on, and you guys reviewed it on Android Central. I think.
Yeah, I didn't have any time with it.
And yeah. I think he nailed it. It's pretty much what everybody's saying. It's like too much, too lit for too little, and a little too big.
I love looking at it in the monitor. Sorry,
beautiful. Just
crazy. It does feel big. I mean,
it's big, right?
I mean, even though, well, it's still bigger than the Pixel.
And so, iFixit took it apart, or not iFixit, one of the YouTube channels took it apart, and they found that there's a lot of empty space in there. So that's the other thing. So there's a lot of stuff they could have put a bigger battery, they could have put a headphone jack for sure. There's enough space.
Somehow
chose to, like, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to be a pest. I love HTC. I want them to succeed. I want the 11 to really
HTC to succeed.
There's some very interesting aspects to this phone, but there's also some very confounding aspects to this phone.
Well, the other thing is it was announced at CES, and then it took 3 months to come out, and it came out in the middle of the storm of the century, which is brought on by the G6 and the Galaxy S8.
Yeah.
Once you see those two other phones, there's no way you're going to spend
HTC.
$750 on that, right? I mean, it's like,
but
honestly,
the finish is not, except for this fingerprint.
I know HTC
aspect,
PR doesn't want to hear this because nobody wants to admit this is made by HTC, but the Pixel, get a Pixel at that price point. Get a Pixel XL. At least you got the latest updates. You got a headphone jack.
Yep.
You get a phone that you know is like rubber stamped by every tech journalist and every Android guru in the world, right?
Yep.
Done.
Absolutely.
So that's it. I'm done ranting.
Right on. 1, 2, 3, and done.
Those are all valid points. Yeah.
Oh, that was hard. No, I'm
thank you. The LG G6, the Moto G5 Plus, and the HTC U Ultra. That was fantastic. Thanks for bringing those in.
Yep. All pretty phones, I just have to say.
Right?
We are we're on a good journey towards just having phones, even if they're just kind of bleh on the inside. At least they're pretty on the outside.
Totally. They've come a long
and you know,
way.
Actually, you bring up something interesting, Flo, is that I don't think that the hardware matters that much anymore.
When not I'm to using, the peeps,
when
no.
When I'm using this G5 Plus with a 625 and 4 gigs of RAM, mm-hmm. the only thing I'm sacrificing versus the 821 at 4 gigs of RAM is video game performance. If I'm playing like mm-hmm. the latest, latest. And then you can see that, you know, and the benchmark reflect that. But in terms of everyday use, yeah. the way the phone feels and the app start, there's zero difference.
Yeah.
And you know, if you do a bit of research, the 625 has the same is built on the same core as the 810. So the 810 last year was on Nexus 6 Plus core, right? So think about that.
It's the improved 810 without all the
basically with all the cruft from before.
Yeah, that's a good word, cruft.
Cruft.
I love that. That's good.
I outdid myself.
All right. Excellent. Miriam's Hardware Shack is closed. And now...
and the goats are out.
That's right. It's time to thank the sponsor of today's episode of All About Android, and that is Square. You know Square. You've used Square. You've paid for things with through Square. Go to your favorite coffee shop or wherever Square Terminal is. You've used Square. Square started with a radical idea. The more they could help businesses succeed and grow, the more they would succeed and grow. So they set out to make tools that would help every business. Square lets you take payments anywhere, any way customers want to pay, so you never miss a sale. Square's hardware and their software is reliable, it's easy to use, it's powerful, and affordable. The free MagStripe reader plugs into the headset jack on your smartphone or tablet, so you can swipe cards the old-fashioned way, the way people, you know, often expect to be able to do it. You can also accept chip cards and NFC payments with the new Square reader. It's $49. It's compatible with your iOS and Android devices. It connects by Bluetooth LE, so you don't even have to worry about not having a headset jack, because that's a thing nowadays that we have to wonder whether we're going to get one or not. Slip your iPad into Square Stand to complete your point of sale. You can sign up in minutes and accept every major credit card for one simple rate. 2.75% per swipe, dip, or tap. 3.5% plus 15 cents per keyed-in transactions. Square will create custom pricing packages for businesses with annual revenues over $250,000 and an average ticket size over $15. No hidden fees, no penalties, no commitments. You just pay for what you use. Square deposits your money within 1 to 2 business days. If needed, on-demand deposits cost just 1% of the total deposit amount. Square also has your back with up to $250 a month in free chargeback protection. A nice bonus there. Check your sales on the Square dashboard using your PC or your iOS app, and you can kind of check in and see how it's going there. The Square dashboard allows you to see historical and real-time sales data, track inventory, send marketing campaigns, create loyalty programs, and more. Connect Square with your favorite apps and services as well. QuickBooks, Weebly, BigCommerce, just to name a few, or use their APIs to build your own solution. Square provides top-level security as well and great customer support free of charge. So see how Square works for your business. If you want to sign up now, you'll get free processing on your first $500 in sales at square.com/android. Some terms apply. Check it out for yourself. That's square.com/android. And we thank Square for their support. All righty. Without further ado, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Arena. What is it?
It was a tight race this week.
Was it? I have not checked. I'm logging in.
Was.
I'd like to be surprised. Ooh, I hadn't even voted.
Uh-oh.
Well, you might make it a less of a tight race.
Uh-oh.
He voted for himself.
Of course I am. Always. Almost always. Don't you?
No.
Why not?
Yeah, you absolutely should vote for yourself. Come
yes.
on.
Oh, heck yes. Let's see here.
I'm voting by name only.
Oh, my gosh.
So wow. Look at that.
I'm having a hard time determining.
The eggs. Egg Inc. wins with 42.9.
Did it?
Are you kidding
man.
Me? Are you
it
kidding
sneaks,
me?
It sneaks past
I'm
Ant Me with 42.1.
I'm second place to an egg yep. game?
Yep.
I will just have you know that my one vote is not the tip. It did not tip the scales.
His vote.
It had already
no,
been
it did not.
The scales had already been tipped by one.
I looked at it before, and knew it was 42.7.
It was probably Brian.
Oh boy.
I blame Brian because he's like, it's about Petaluma. It's my hometown. I have to support it.
So with that win by Jason, Jason's climbing back out of the basement, although he's still in last place with 30 points. Flo is in third place with 32 points. The guests are still in second with 36 points, and I'm still in first with 40 points. But Flo is knocking on the door. Jason could be knocking on the door.
Knocking on app door.
Oh, geez. That's a new.
That should be the new app segment song.
No,
Oh my god, yes.
All right, so I'm up first. If you have my app on your phone,
I'm installing it right now. I have it.
Okay, cool. So this is a neat little floating tool app that I thought was pretty cool. It's called Grammar Pal. And a lot of people are doing more and more on their phones, more and more writing, more and more emailing, things like that. People are shifting away from utilizing laptops and trying to use their phones. And now you can see Jason going through the really great onboarding experience for this app that walks you through all the different accessibility services and things like that that you need to turn on. And then once you turn it on, you can change the settings there where you can specify where the floating button exists and the size of the button. So in this case, we're going to have it appear in every app or globally. Let's just choose in every app.
It remembers where the position is on a per app basis. That's cool.
Exactly. Oh, which is very cool because different apps have different places where text goes and things like that.
Yeah.
You can change the floating button size. You can change how the highlights is. You can change your language, things like that. But the most important thing is the upper right hand corner, the on button. So it is flipped on. So Jason, take us to Google Keep or to Twitter or to something where you're typing text.
Okay. Let's see here. I'll go to Twitter.
Yep.
Don't post this, just type
hey, it's Android time. Well, here you go. So it says Grammar Pal, there's your little button. And so basically what happens is that you can just tap that. That's fine. Okay. So when it's a great onboarding experience. I really wish everybody should take a look at this. So if you type something and just say, this is a test or whatnot. Yeah.
do I want to make it grammatically incorrect?
Well, do it first. That's fine. So this is not what we thought. Now hit the little button. So if you hit the little...
You really had to manifesto there.
All right. So now it just searched it and you're grammatically great. So now screw that sentence up and make it say...
So I had is.
Shouldn't it fix it for you?
No, it shouldn't fix it for you. That's the important thing about grammar. Because grammar is very, so just type...
This is what not we thought.
Yes, what not to wear.
This is what not we thought it would be. Oh, no.
All right. So
you should tweet that and just have this emo tweet in the voice.
I could say like Notley or something like that, or just something nonsensey. So
there we go.
Now it's going to pick up saying, I found one error. So you can tap it. And this is what's great. If you tap the one. We lost.
Oh, there we go. Okay. There it is. So then I tap the one.
Tap the button. And now it, you tap that. So it brings up this little pane here. The onboarding experience is fantastic. But it brings up this little window pane. And down here, it shows you the text that it scanned. And then you can either, the first button is where you can minimize this window.
Okay.
Or you can copy the text that's below. Or you can send it right back to the app that it came from. Hit it again there. All right. But so what we did was we didn't correct it. So if you hit the one on the upper right-hand corner, right? Well, so there's no history there. So hit the highlight button on the Notley. There you go. And just tap that word. There you go. And so it's going to give you possible Hotly. Spelling mistake.
I meant to say Hotly. This is what Hotly we thought.
And so now hit the third button from the left, the kind of up arrow one.
This one?
Nope. Third from the right.
I got it.
So it just sends the corrected text back to the app that you were working in. So basically, spell check is great, but grammar is a little more challenging. And if we had time to write a longer grammatically incorrect paragraph, we could show it off a little more. But I ran it through its paces. It was very good. I was writing some emails, and it picked up some great corrections. And this is it's a neat little tool, and the little floating button, it doesn't get in the way. And the fact that you can move it from position to position for different apps is really powerful, as well as that little window that comes up along the bottom. So, and Jason, if you tap on the button and hold it, you can move it around.
Oh, did I just?
You just got rid of it. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. So.
When I tap and hold it, it makes, brings up.
Just that tap and drag it. Yeah.
See, when I try and do that, it just does that.
Oh, weird. Interesting. So I was able to move it. Anyway, so you can move it hypothetically.
Oh, there we go. Oh, I got you. Gotcha. I need to move faster.
Yeah, there it is. And also, if you long tap on it, you can blacklist the app so it won't even work in the app, or you can just disable it, or you can change your language. So it's a neat little kind of contextual menu that pops up there. So it's a cool little floating app that helps you write better. It helps you write well.
Write gooder.
Yeah, type gooder. Thought it would be gooder.
I write gooder. Oh boy. Let's see. Definitely an error. It's
gooder, going. So you tap it.
Okay, so tap the word. And it says better.
Did you mean better?
I did. That's what I meant. Send it to the app. And now it says write better. Boom.
Yay.
Nice.
I write better thanks to Grammar Pal.
So there you go. It's free in the Google Play Store. Check it out. Neat little floating button app that helps you write better or gooder.
Awesome. Either way. All right. Good pick, Grammar Pal. Flo, you're up.
I am up next. I've just got a little utility app for you here today. It's called Quick Set It. It's called Nugget Quick Settings is how you'll find it in the Play Store. it's a free app, but it's got some in-app purchases and some ads, so just heads up there. But it's a cute little app that puts extra quick settings. My goodness, my gracious. Everything's really bright today. It's this fun little utility app that puts extra quick settings in your quick settings on Nuggets. Offers a variety of things that you might want to use, including the ability to launch the system calculator. Let's put that on and see what that's like.
I've always wanted that in my quick settings.
You got to calculate the tip.
Hey,
you got to know how much you're shipping.
Well. Yeah.
You can enable or disable heads-up notifications. Some of these things will require root, so you have to be rooted to use them. So it'll be a bummer if you can't because you're not rooted, which I am not. You can set a new timer. I have this one set up because I constantly use the timer on my phone. Screen filters there for anybody who doesn't have the blue light filter built into their Android phone. Maybe a quick little counter you can put in there. After you've selected all that, you can just go to the settings and edit them as you normally would, and then just drag them over as you need them. Drag my little calculator over here.
This is very similar to the shortcutter that I had in a couple of weeks ago.
It is.
But it's different.
Because what happened is I downloaded your shortcutter, and then it showed me this as a suggestion on Google Play.
Nice.
Well played, Flo.
So.
Good job.
Silly little utility. It's a little freebie. If maybe there's just something on there that you're trying to enable that's not out. You can even screen timeout. You can adjust that. Choose an app to launch. This one, I think maybe a lot of you out there might be interested. You know, have that application just living in the quick settings instead of on the home screen.
Yeah, Pokemon Go or something. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what everybody wants up there now.
This one's also helpful. The in-ear audio. You can listen to the music via the headset capsule of calls, and that's useful if you don't have any headset. So I actually like to use this when I don't have my headphones and I want to continue listening to my podcast.
You just hold your phone up as if you're like
up in the grocery store as I'm on a call, and I'm like, ha, 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 these girls are so funny.
And inside you're like dancing.
Yeah, it's just I'm just that
everyone
person.
Thinks you're like, on a call, but no, you're dancing.
No, I'm not. I'm dancing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, little freebie app there for you.
Meanwhile, when you're holding it up, everybody sees that case, and that's why you're holding it up.
Chompy.
Anybody wants Nougat. A Starbucks? I got some on my case.
All right. I'd like a refill, please. Nugget Quick Settings, which is free in the Play Store.
It is pretty cool. I like it.
Miriam, you are up next. And
so it's an oldie
I was hoping
but
you were talking about my case. Sorry.
That's the case is cool too, but okay. Let's move on from the case. Well, the case is over with. Okay. This is Plex. It's a free app, and there's two parts to it. There's the app for your phone, which exists also for iOS and Android, and it is Android, obviously. But it also is a server you can install on your Mac or PC. And you can store all of your media, basically music, movies, TV shows and stuff, on your PC or Mac. In fact, if you have iTunes, for example, and you use that as your music library, it'll import the stuff directly from iTunes, which is nice. And so then anywhere you are in the world, and you know I travel a lot. This is kind of how I started using Plex, is that I travel so much, I don't have time to sync all my devices to have all the content that I want. I used to be old school and just be like, copy over USB what I need for the flight kind of thing. But now I use Plex, and you can like store locally some of the content. So, you know, the main screen here tells you which server you're on. So you get a choice. You can also get anything that's on your device, obviously, since it's a local music player at that point, like a local media player.
Yeah, reflection.
My server's called Garlic, and so there it is. As you can see, I watch a lot of girls because, you know, that's how I roll. Bunch of movies, and then there's a whole bunch of music here, like a lot of music. But you can actually go to select like playlists or channels, movies, music, TV shows, and it'll kind of sort through them, and you can organize them. On the server side, you can actually create, you know, tell it what folders to search for and what you consider to be music and TV shows and movies. It kind of auto-categorizes, but you can force it to do whatever you want. Same with like Watch Later. So Watch Later is the stuff that you store locally on your machine, on your device, before you leave on a trip. And then Recommended and Settings, of course. There's lots of settings. And that's basically it in a nutshell. You can cast, of course. So if you have like a Chromecast to connect to or something like that, you can do it. And then, you know, there's really not too much here. You can kind of tell it, you know, find out like whether it's actually properly synced to your server right now or not. And the nice thing is that you don't really need like to set up any ports on your router for it to work. Like it just works. Now there's paid version of this that allows more throughput and better performance. There's a whole bunch of other
things. Plex Pass or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's called Plex Pass. And you can give different people different logins. So like your spouse can have their own account on your Plex server.
We need to set that up because I've really ruined the Plex at home.
And I believe you need the pass for that actually feature. But overall, I've used it a little bit now, and it's pretty good. The only Achilles heel for me of this technology, and I'm running the server on a Mac Mini, an old Mac Mini I have running around, so it's really just fine. The biggest problem is the throughput of your internet connection. You need a good upload speed, and if you don't have a good upload speed, as soon as you have one or two people streaming off of that connection, it's going to be bad. And it does degrade automatically. If it can't keep up, it'll give you choices of what like resolution and quality you can expect, right? Mm-hmm. But overall, look, it's not new. It's been around for a while, but we haven't reviewed it since 2011.
Yeah.
And
episode 36.
I kind of think that it's one of those apps that pretty much everybody should really have, simply because,
it's so good.
It's the only way to get to your content anywhere on any device. And if you're like us and you have as many devices and you're constantly rotating, having to copy over content is just not the solution. Yeah. You know, I mean, I still use Google Play Music more than the music library on this. But for videos, it's
your
really,
personal video collection. I got to have my 90210 without the Hulu commercials.
So I like it. It's good stuff, you know.
Nice.
And so, yeah, not as inspired as the grammar.
But it's
well, it's used by a lot of people. Yeah. Plex is a solution that a lot of people know and love.
Because they have the new cloud feature where you can like back up into Dropbox.
That's the latest thing right
now. The latest update.
So you don't have to store your stuff locally. You can put stuff in Dropbox or in Google Drive, and it'll use that as the basis for its
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things. And again, since 2011, it's changed and improved drastically. It's so much more user-friendly. When I first tried setting it up a few years ago, I kind of gave up back then. I was like, this is too complicated. And now it's just like, oh, anybody can
Isn't it like the original, I want to say XBMC?
That's right. It started out as XBMC.
Yes. Well, wait a minute. Isn't XBMC, didn't that turn into Kodi? I think they're different.
Well, XBMC is an open source project, and I think Plex.
Yeah, XBMC is like the base of it, and there have been different things that have developed from it. But Plex has always been kind of how CyanogenMod became Cyanogen, where Plex has always been an app and a business, because I remember a friend of mine invested in it really early. But it's all built from the same kind of, DNA of XBMC.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I think that what I like about this is the simplicity of setup and use, and, you know, the fact that it's still free and you can actually live with just a free version. You don't really, like, there's nothing, you're missing out on a lot of definitely cool features by paying for a pass. But I think that there's a lot of apps that just are so limited when they're free, especially those kind of apps. That this one doesn't, you know, kind of cheap out on what you can do with it. It's the real deal even with a free version, right? So there you go.
Yeah, 2009, Plex Media Server, originally called Plex Media Center, based on Kodi, formerly known as XBMC. It's all connected.
It's all connected. Happy open source universe.
And in case you were wondering, the episode was 36, the last time it was featured. 2011, the title, Ice Cream Sandwich on a Tablet. That was the thing we were talking about
then.
Ice cream sandwich on a tablet. This is going to make tablets the best thing in the world. I'm sure we were very, very
excited.
Meanwhile,
what happened to Android tablets?
Whatever happened to tablets and Android?
Oh, wait. I know.
What?
I know.
You know what happened to Android tablets?
I was at Mobile Congress, and for Mobile Geeks, I wrote a hands-on on the Galaxy Tab S3, also known as the Samsung iPad Pro.
You were going to bring that in this week.
I didn't charge it.
It totally is. Guys, it's uncanny how much it's an iPad Pro made by Samsung on Android.
That's what Flo was saying last week.
We had a lot of hardware today. I wanted to, you know.
Okay, bring it next week because I want to see it in person.
Next week we'll go over the...
All right. Excellent. So that's Plex. It's free. It's cross-platform. Like, there isn't a platform that Plex doesn't run on, probably.
Yeah, I think,
or maybe there is.
Somebody was asking about an old Linux box. Raspberry Pi. There's Raspberry Pi Plex server.
Yep, absolutely. It's a great thing to do with your Pi. Okay, my app is kind of a quickie. It's, I don't know. I have fun with weird little quirky music apps. This one's called Hum On. You can kind of see it's working right now a little bit.
Do we get to hum?
What it's doing, well, what would you like to hum?
I have an idea.
Okay.
Okay. No, you explain your app first.
Oh, so basically it detects pitch based on what you're humming. So, my voice is not working very well right now, but it would do re mi fa sol la ti. Okay, my upper register is really bad today, but anyways, you saw it kind of scaling up, right? And so you can record that, and it will record those notes that it detects you singing, and then it will transcribe it into actual notes that can then be inserted into presets of different styles, and it'll create a song out of it. So
now I see why you find this attractive.
It's funny. It's
like, you did that, didn't you? You created a song.
No, I haven't. Well, I mean, it does it for you. It's cheesy, like computer music song. But let's see here. I'm just gonna make something up and make a fool of myself. Oh, hold on. 2, 1. Do 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 do. I don't know if it caught those other notes.
That had a great early 80s new wave vibe. Just so you know, that was pretty. That was like straight out of,
it's total freestyle.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways. So you can see now it's transcribed them. I've noticed that it's not the best at transcribing, but it comes up with something, and it's kind of fun.
Let's hear it.
So this is the melody straight up. Hold on. Okay.
Sounds a little like when I was learning how to play piano.
Yeah, like exactly. This is like you're learning how to play piano. And I don't even know if you could hear it coming through the stream because I don't have it plugged into our audio. All right, so I'm gonna take away the interface so you can actually hear it because I have to put it up to the speaker. Do you want to do rock? Do you want to hear this in rock?
Let's hear this in rock.
Here we go.
See, that sounds like...
That sounds like Human League.
It sounds like a cheap video game.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Casio keyboard. How about ballad? Oh, this is going to be the kind of song you want to play when you want to, you know, get close to your bae.
Oh, nice DX7 sounds.
Yeah, awesome. Totally. You're right. Oh, yeah. See? You too could make...
Girl. Cool.
Girl.
We're going to have some fun tonight.
That's right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go that far.
It's okay. We were all thinking it.
I didn't even go that far.
R&B. Maybe you want some R&B. Kind of similar, actually. Okay.
Wait, did you see? Really?
Yeah.
That's R&B?
I think so.
It's more thumpy on the bass drum.
How about some shuffle? Yes. It's got a little low end. How about some shuffle?
It's a Jason show. He's here every Thursday night.
Yeah.
His name is Jason and he's gonna make you feel all right.
That's right. Hum on. And then
that was great.
I think you're gonna win, Jason.
And you can share, and I can share that out with a cover photo, apparently, because I've never shared anything out. But you can select a cover photo that matches and maybe give it a little color and song and put the name in there, whatever it's called, and then you share it out. And apparently it processes that audio. I've never got this far. But apparently you could share these things, too, because people need to hear. People need to hear this stuff. This is like, this is,
we should, mean, like, this we should radio on material. This music, honestly.
This is the new All About Android theme song. All right, so there you go. It's called Hum On, and it's a lot of fun.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Simplest music player. Mixed results, but you'll have a lot of fun
and
with it.
The best part is if you use a phone that's water resistant, you can hum in the shower and get a song by the time you're done.
Where you're already singing anyways. Exactly. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I am. Acoustics.
So it's time for you to vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Grammar Pal? Is it Nougat or Nougat? Quick settings. Is it Plex?
Oh, Brian.
Or is it Hum On? Place your vote.
I think you got to vote for Hum On. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for Hum On, too, honestly.
I'm going to vote for Hum On. I don't know. We'll see. You know bit.ly/AAA vote 312.
Yummy ham from Spain.
Ham On?
Ham On.
Oh, this would have been a really great app to bring on Mobile World Congress Week.
Yeah, blow it.
That's right.
Dang it. Bit.ly/AAA vote 312 for your favorite app this week.
Yay.
Sorry. Vote later.
And that is it for this two-hour opus of All About Android. This is what happens when we bring in a lot of hard work.
Hum On is winning by like a landslide right now.
You can't judge early on.
Sample size of three.
Exactly. Exactly.
Brian, we'll Miriam, and Jason.
That is it for this week. Miriam, always a pleasure getting you on. Thank you for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks for having me. It was great fun.
And thanks for bringing all the hardware.
All those beautiful phones. Even the Moto G.
So what you're working on? You're writing for Chip Chick?
Yeah, so I've been doing monthly or so phone reviews for Chip Chick, which is kind of fun. And it's not every month, but whenever they need something done. You know, I still do some coverage on trade shows for Mobile Geeks, which is really fun because it's pretty cash. And I get to go to shows and meet you guys and hang out and have fun. Kind of relive the good old days. I have an exciting announcement to make, though, is that I will be starting my own podcast soon.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
And I can't tell you too much. It's going to probably be called the Mobile Tech Podcast. And obviously, you guys can be my guests.
Sweet.
It'll be primarily an audio-based podcast. We might have live video of it if we can, when we can. Some of it will be pre-recorded because of my travel schedule. And it's going to be on a major podcast network, so we'll have hopefully sponsors and some inertia going on here like you guys have. But you're the best. I mean, you know, honestly, if there's a podcast, it's this one, in my opinion. So, but I think a lot of people remember what the Engadget Mobile podcast was like, and the idea is to kind of bring that back. So the best way to find out exactly what we're going to do, because we're still trying to figure out the timing and everything and which time of the week we'll be doing it, it'll be a weekly thing, is to follow me on Twitter, at Tankgirl, T-N-K-G-R-L. You got it right there. So follow me and I'll make a big announcement and, you know, it'll be all on all the social media and stuff. And we'll probably have a website and everything out. Like, for me, the great thing about it is that there is a producer. There are people that are going to be taking care of all this stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
I can just worry about the guests and, you know, and that's it. So that's kind of what we want to do.
Awesome.
And you're the first to find out right here. So
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Tech
that's
Mobile
really cool.
Podcast, Mobile Tech Podcast, sometime in the next 2 weeks should be the first episode.
Ooh, okay. We'll be watching socials.
Indeed.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks for having me.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Let's see here. Ron what you got going on.
Continuing on that podcast tip, Miriam is right. Follow me on Twitter at RonXO, where you can find I'm always tweeting about the various podcasts I'm doing over at ifanboy.com, talking about comic books and comic book movies and TV and all fun stuff like that. And actually, after this show, I'm going to be editing our podcast talking about T2 Trainspotting, because while it has nothing to do with comic books, we felt the need to talk about it. So a little branching out into non-comic book content there.
I'm sure there's some blurred lines, some crossover there.
Yeah, not as much as you think, but we don't care. But yeah, so you can find that on ifanboy.com probably tomorrow or Thursday. Follow me on Twitter to find out. And then, of course, tomorrow comes out a new episode of A Damn Fine Podcast, my podcast with Tom Merritt, where we are talking about and revisiting Twin Peaks, and we recorded one earlier today. We're very, very close to season 3 of Twin Peaks coming in May, so you definitely want to rewatch Twin Peaks, listen to us talk about it, get ready for the new season. That's all at damnfinepodcast.com, and we look forward to Mr. Brian Burnett joining Damn Fine Podcast in the near future, so stay tuned for that as well, too. A little teaser. He'll be coming on as a guest.
I too am looking forward to it. I just didn't want to step on Flo's time to.
We'll get back to you in a second, Brian.
Yeah,
Flo, what you got?
I've got a lot of social media.
Yeah,
yeah. As usual, you can find me on Snapchat and Twitter. Oh, that Flo. You can find my ramblings and musings about the world of Android on AndroidCentral.com. Let's see. Last week, I wrote all about the Galaxy S8 along with, like, the rest of the Android Central crew. So you should go maybe read all that stuff. That would be really appreciated.
Yeah.
Other than that, I hope everybody's doing well.
And if anyone else decides to do to their phone what Flo did to her phone, please send us pictures.
Oh, yeah, let me know. Yeah, let me know if you need to know, like, materials or, like, where to buy things.
Or how to artfully place pieces on the phone.
The second one I made last night is way better than this one. Anyway, you'll be seeing you'll be seeing my creations on this show.
You're going to do one a week, right?
It's actually very, it's very easy. I mean, I can do it in 15 minutes.
Are you going to make an edible one? Like, I'm coming back on the show when it's an edible one.
I got to figure out a formula of, like, a nice, like, meringue, maybe a meringue sugar or something that, like, sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make sure that whatever the dessert is, it
like
ends up on there.
Gingerbread men or houses use that whatever stuff gets really hard. Yeah. But it's still edible.
Anise?
Yeah.
Am I thinking?
Yeah.
No.
It's like sugar cement.
Correct. Yeah. It is concrete made of sugar.
Yes.
There you go.
And then three months later, it's really hard, but you can still eat it.
It's okay. You can still eat it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Brian, what about you?
Well, you can find me doing Know How with Padre on Thursdays. You can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing Twin Peaks with Ron and Tom on the Damn Fine Podcast. I've been doing my homework, Ron. I've read the diary. Yep, thumbs up, my friend. And rewatching. So I've just about caught up to the episode that I'll be talking to you guys on.
Excellent. You're all right, Brian.
You're all right, too, Ron. What about you, Jason?
about.me/Jason Howell. I think I got to figure out why I'm still doing about.me. But anyways,
yeah,
there
I
we
stopped
go.
Using it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Everyone did. It's just, it's like the words.
They ruined it. They ruined the words it.
Can are I just, buy you a domain
I'm,
for your
I'm
birthday?
I'm used to saying the words. That's the only reason why.
Can I buy you Jason Howell?
I have it. JasonHowell.net if you really want to go there. It's going to forward you, though, to my site with music, and that's yellowgoldmusic.com.
Good.
So they both go there. And I guess my Twitter and social information. I'm going to change. Starting this day forth, I'm not going to say about.me anymore. We'll see how that goes.
Announcements on the show today.
Yeah, I know. Big heavy announcements too. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us once again for this episode of All About Android. Always great doing the show and having you guys along. Leave us a voicemail 347 show AAA. Send us an email or video mail at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. On Reddit, we are twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. Everything you need to know about the show is there. Also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, podcasts, all over the map. And catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye-bye.